There's a limit to your love, like a waterfall in slow motion, like a map with no ocean. There's a limit to your love, your love, your love, your love.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining me in the studio is Matthew Kavanagh, who's the director of U.S. Policy and Advocacy for Health Gap, that is Global Access Project. He has worked with a wide variety of NGOs and social movement organizations in the U.S., Latin America, and South Africa. He was previously the Global Campaign Director for Results Education Fund and Executive Director of Global Justice. His organizing work has ranged from water rights and apartheid reparations campaigns in Johannesburg to racial justice work with the Boston Youth Organizing Project. Welcome to Background Briefing, Matthew Kavanagh.
Thanks for having me.
And apparently across town here in a swank Beverly Hills hotel, there's been a meeting of global corporate giants and the U.S. trade representative. These meetings have been secret, I understand, and you and a lot of activists have been on the periphery, shut out. What happened inside, and why are you upset about it?
So they're going on right now. And what's going on is that the Obama administration is in the middle of negotiating a free trade deal. It's called the Trans-Pacific Free Trade Agreement. It's going to be very similar to NAFTA, only worse and bigger. It'll be the biggest free trade agreement that's the United States has ever seen.
That's the NAFTA of the Pacific.
NAFTA of the Pacific is what a lot of people are calling it. Mm. And right now, they're trying to kind of sneak quietly into town, here into Los Angeles, into a pretty swanky Beverly Hills hotel, where they're negotiating the intellectual property chapter. And it's not public. It's closed to the public. They tried to keep it secret. They tried to prevent us from even knowing where they were meeting. But luckily, we've found out. And basically, what's at stake is the entire agenda around labor rights, environmental rights, access to AIDS drugs, all of these things that this administration is currently negotiating with 9 other countries. But they want to make it even bigger than that eventually. Once they get an agreement, they want the entire Pacific Rim to come together in one big trade agreement under a whole new set of rules that are, we would argue, really about favoring the 1% over the 99% globally.
So intellectual property is at the heart of the recent SOPA Act before the Congress, which has now been stalled because the internet people showed some muscle. Indeed. And they basically bowed the Hollywood people and never go back and redraft it. But at the heart of it, intellectual property concerns are real. Piracy is real. Hollywood, apart from the fact they're making lousy movies, they also are losing zillions of dollars to pirates.
Well, you know, it's interesting because there's a wide variety, and you know, I come from the health background, and as an AIDS activist, have come to this work on intellectual property, which seems kind of way high in the sky. And as you're saying, we kind of hear a lot about piracy and stolen drugs, and in the health world, we hear about, you know, counterfeit drugs, and that we should be so worried, and yet all of this is a little different than what's actually being negotiated, right? And so much like SOPA, right, there's these similar kind of things in which, all right, piracy is perhaps happening. Perhaps somewhere there are counterfeit drugs. But the response to that is not some
sort
of—
I don't think the perhaps. I think there really are a lot of counterfeit drugs, in India particularly. Cheap ones. You know.
Cheap ones, right. But this is different, right? I mean, the difference between a counterfeit drug, which is, you know, pretends like it's real and doesn't work, and a drug that just pretends like it's Advil— right?
Right.
Yeah, as long as it's the same thing and it works, right? So these are different things. But I think the questions of intellectual property are huge and growing, right? I am not an expert on the kind of the movie business pieces, but I do know that the internet is abuzz with the SOPA pieces and the PIPA pieces, and the TPP is the next step in that, right? What they're trying to do is they're trying to say, let's require countries, all the countries that signed this free trade agreement, let's require them all to police the internet and make it a criminal offense to actually receive and possess copyright infringing materials, right? Now imagine this, right? The imagination of is it going to be a criminal offense to watch stolen cable, right? Is it going to be a criminal offense to receive poetry that's a takeoff on somebody else's poetry over the internet in a country, right? They're imagining ordering entire websites to be taken down in other countries just because, you know, it's copyrighted here. These are really different than piracy, where you've got a movie that's being stolen out of Hollywood. Totally different, right? There are ways that we can deal with that. on the health issue, we're deeply concerned because Big Pharma is making a huge grab here, right? They're trying to say they're really worried about generic drugs, which, you know, in and I work a lot, you know, on HIV and with people living with AIDS around the world. And the price of, you know, Magic Johnson, right? He's a good Los Angelino. HIV positive. He takes something called Kaletra, right? It costs $13,000 per patient per year. He pays about $13,000 a year to take that drug. Well, now let's think about Zambia, right? $1,200 is the entire per capita for that entire country per person, right? There's no way per year, right? There's no way they're going to be able to pay $13,000 a year. The way that we've gone from having almost nobody on AIDS drugs and cancer drugs and all of those things in the developing world, right, has been to have generic drugs, most of them made in India, right? Mm-hmm. And the way that the Indians are able to do that is they say that they have patents, but they don't give Big Pharma giant new rights to say, all right, if you just change the pill from red to blue, right, then you get a whole new patent. Well, here in the United States, we do that, right? And that's what the Big Pharma is trying to export, is this whole new patent regime, send it around the world, make it intellectual property. And when it comes to life and death issues, the questions of intellectual property get a lot fiercer.
So I guess this Big Pharma is trying to enforce an international agreement that protects its intellectual property. The question then becomes, you know, what, you know, when a drug is first created, that's when it has an intellectual the value of its intellectual property. And but then what they've been able to do is they've been able to extend the patents and the time before they become generic. And that's one of the rackets that goes on here. And that's why Big Pharma can give a senator, for example, $1 million.
Absolutely.
And he'd write a little rider in a bill saying that this particular drug needs the patent needs to be protected for past its shelf life. And that means billions and billions for us. So
billions.
But where do you draw the line between what is fair in terms of the investment that pharmaceutical companies make in the research and development of a drug, and how long can they make money out of it?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's maybe let's take an example of one drug, right? So again, I was saying that the drug that Magic Johnson takes, right?
Right.
It's lopinavir ritonavir is the official name of it, right? Ritonavir was actually invented not by Abbott Laboratories that holds the patent, but by the National Institutes for Health, right? So we as taxpayers, we actually already paid for the invention of at least half the drug.
So
right?
was it given to Abbott?
What's that? Well, they took it from the basic science and then they took it to market, right? They did some research, right? Not none, right? But they did some, right? And then they took it to market.
Wow.
Last year, they made $1.5 billion off of that drug, right? So this question of we hear this all the time. Big Pharma invests billions of dollars in research. Well, at least half of that money that's being invested to make real drugs, not the next, you know, the next impotence pill, right? But a real drug, at least half of that's coming from us already, right? And then we say, all right, you can make the money that you're going to make on it, but then there's certain limitations, right? You don't get it forever, right? You don't get to just keep on making small changes and continue the patent forever and ever. And especially internationally, right? When we start talking about Vietnam, for example, that's a party to this free trade agreement that the Obama administration is trying to do. Vietnam is a struggling country. They've got lots of HIV, right? They're trying to tackle it. They're trying to say there's no way we can pay this, right? And what pharma is trying to do is they're trying to say, you, Vietnam, have to adopt U.S.-style patent laws, right? Now, I would argue that here in the United States, they're not working very well for us, right? We're paying through the nose for brand-name drugs when we don't have to because we're kind of way out of whack. We're giving pharma way too much. But if you want to extend that even further, go to Vietnam and imagine that they have to adopt U.S.-style patent laws. That's going to mean people are actually going to die. And that, I think, is a line, right? When you're saying, literally, Vietnam cannot afford it, and therefore people with HIV will die, I think that's a pretty clear line that we can all agree on.
Well, we know that there's something wrong with the system because drugs that cost a fortune here, you know, you just drive across the Canadian border and they're much less. And if you drive south across the Mexican border, they're even cheaper. And we know, for example, that a lot of these AIDS cocktails that were developed over here, the Indians were able to put them all into one pill, keep
Absolutely.
It real simple, and that's all gone to South Africa and the Third World and saved millions and millions of lives. So this is clearly an issue of morality and humanity versus profit. To give us a sense of the forces arrayed, Big Pharma on the one side and what?
Well, and all the rest of us on the other side, right? Hopefully not just me. No. I mean, I think the AIDS activists worldwide are getting engaged, but so too are environmental activists, labor activists, all of these folks, because the free trade agreement here in Los Angeles, they've decided to sneak into town. And I think it's worth noting, right, that what they did yesterday, right, is that they, instead of meeting with public health officials, they told us there was no public events that were happening, et cetera, et cetera. They had to go with Fox Studios and have a tour of Fox Studios by the head of the government. Mental relations. Not exactly transparent, dear president. But regardless of that, right, they've kind of slunk into town to try to talk about intellectual property. But obviously, the battle is bigger than that, right? The battle is over labor rights, whether or not we're going to have a whole huge new trade agreement that actually exports even more jobs, right, that fails to actually protect workers' rights in the global south, right? Whether we're going to give corporations the power to challenge in court and in international tribunals our environmental standards, right, to say, oh, they lost profit off of it, therefore they get to sue us and sue the taxpayers. All of these kinds of things are at stake. And this is why tomorrow, on Wednesday at noon, at the Sofitel in Beverly Hills, we're going to be out front, right? We're going to go. We're going to expose them. They're trying really hard to keep this as secret as possible. That's why I appreciate shows like yours that are willing to kind of bring it about into the light and say, actually, you know, if we get the environmental movement, the labor unions and the labor movement and beyond labor unions, right, working people, we get the AIDS activists. If we can get all of those folks together, we can actually stop this free trade deal in its tracks.
So why do these countries like Vietnam agree to this? I mean, if you got on the record NAFTA and what it did to Mexico, it's basically destroyed Mexican agriculture because it's so much cheaper to dump U.S. grain down there, and created an even greater exacerbation between the rich and the poor. And essentially what the Mexicans did was export their poverty to the United States in the form of illegal immigration. And now that's drying up. Mm-hmm. But the richest man in the world is a Mexican.
Absolutely.
So is this an agreement between the global oligarchs? Are they people or are aware that when you make these big agreements, it doesn't help the common people?
Well, I think you said it exactly right, right? This is absolutely an agreement between the global oligarchs. And right now, it's the United States, New Zealand, Australia, Vietnam, Malaysia, Singapore, Brunei. It's a kind of a random grouping, right? And why is that? Well, it's actually because these are places where the United States feels like it has connection enough with the leaders, can push enough, can forward corporate interests enough, and where corporate interests are forwarding their own interests there, where they can come together and begin to craft an agreement. But, you know, if you look 2 years ago or 3 years ago, they tried to do the same thing in Thailand, right? And in Thailand, folks didn't step back and say, you know, we'll let the elites do it. Instead, they actually gathered 100,000 people and literally drove the negotiators out of the country, right? They chased them out of their hotel, chased them all the way, literally chasing them onto a golf course, and they had to, like, leave the country, right? They halted through people power, the negotiation of that agreement. Because this is the thing, right? When we pull this out into the light of day, you see a really different thing happen. But if they can do it quietly and behind the scenes, then we end up with a situation in which there's no way that the people get a say, right? Each time we end up putting a trade agreement before Congress, what happens? It passes, right? Because the corporate interests, the 1%, get in there, they push, they make it happen. We've got to stop it before it gets even close to there. And the only way we can do that is if we can kind of get a lot more attention to it.
So is China in this deal?
You know, it's not. And that's interesting.
That's very puzzling.
Well, and it's intentional, right? What this is, and if you kind of back up and kind of understand it bigger, is this is a bulwark strategy against China and India, right? India, on the one hand, is actually creating a new model for innovation, right? They're creating generic AIDS drugs. They're creating an entire industry based not on big pharma, right, but instead on lower prices and getting drugs to people. So U.S. pharma and European pharma hates that. So that's India, also not in the agreement. And then there's China, right? Well, what's the bulwark against China? They're worried about the Chinese industry, Chinese relevance in the area, Chinese power in the area. This is the United States gathering a group of countries to try to make an anti-China bloc and an anti-India bloc to try to create U.S.-style capitalist kind of dominance in the region.
But already with China, it would seem that the intellectual property is up for grabs. They pirate and they grab anything they can. But companies like Apple have managed to put all their manufacturing over there to protect their investments. And there's a question now as to why they're, you know, people in this country couldn't pay an extra $50 for an iPad so that the workers could be working over here instead of this penury that they're working in these horrible kind of, you know, towers with, you know, cradle to grave corporate music around the clock.
And, totally. Yeah.
Hideous. Anyway, I think we've run out of time here. I thank you so much for joining us here in studio, Matthew Kavanagh.
No, I appreciate you having me. And if you go to www.healthgap.org or citizenstradecampaign.org, you can find out information about what we're going to be doing kind of while the things are in LA. And I would just urge all your listeners, come out and join us at noon at the Sofitel in Beverly Hills and kind of expose for what's happening tomorrow at noon.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you again, Mark.
Thank you.
Matthew. Matthew Kavanagh is the director of the U.S. Policy and Advocacy at HealthGap. That's a global access project. He's worked with a wide variety of NGOs and social movement organizations in the U.S., Latin America, and South Africa. He was previously the global campaign director for Results Education Fund and executive director of Global Justice. His organizing work has ranged from water rights and apartheid reparations campaigns in Johannesburg to racial justice work with Boston Youth Organizing Project. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about Newt the Nasty and his long march. 'Cause my-